Our Inner Man and Our Outer Man Must Be Compatible by Jacqueline Fedor. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 16 shows us the inner and outer man. Therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. In the last few blasts released, we have discussed the inner and outer man. We have also talked at length about allowing the light of God to expose any darkness embedded in our hearts and our minds that would stand in the way of our inner man being perfected and our soul man being reshaped and molded into the image of Christ. As our inner man begins to come forth as who we really are, and our soul man begins to reflect our inner man, what in the age of Christianity was labeled the gifts of the Spirit will become apparent as the natural ability created in Adam and Eve before the fall. However, when the first pair fell, their spirit man became dormant, and their soul man became prominent. Therefore, all our outer man would have access to would be Satan's knowledge. Our talents and ability to create would unfortunately be used by the enemy to build the world we see today. Our traits, our mindsets, would be shaped and molded by the evil nature of God's enemy. Our database would be full of false doctrines, lies, spawned from the mind of the evil one. Thousands of years have gone by, and this is all we've ever known. This knowledge, this world of Satan. As those that have been introduced to the Word know, Satan challenged God for the ownership of humanity and all they had dominion over. He was given ample time and opportunity to prove his supremacy. But there would come an end to it, and Father's victory over his challenger would be provided for through Yeshua. Number one, the Lord made a walk on the planet as a man with a human nature and a human will. This was accomplished to prove to Satan that no matter what he would do to lure man to his side, corrupt him, and turn him against the Father, it was still possible to make the walk without sin. Satan lost. Number two, he subjected himself to baptism, death in the watery grave, and resurrection to make a way for humanity to be born again. Romans chapter 6, verse 4. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. After his victorious resurrection, he went on to win the battle of the kings. He actually allowed the enemy through man to murder him. With his death, Satan thought he would be the victor over God's creation, including God's Son. Now this part of the universe would belong to him. In other words, planet Earth would be forever in his possession, along with all on it. This would have been the fate of our planet and its inhabitants had Yeshua lost the battle. On the other hand, if he won the battle, all that had been sold out to the enemy by Adam and Eve would be jubileed back to the Father. He won. He's not in the grave. He's at the right hand of the Father, waiting for mankind to manifest his victory. 1,000 years is as a day to God, so it is now the morning of the third day since the victory of the cross. Once again, the body of Christ is being perfected and raised, this time to take possession of what was given originally to man. Psalm chapter 115, verse 16. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. To be a part of the eighth-day body of Christ, we must, with discernment, open our hearts and minds to God's end-time knowledge, as seen in Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12, verses 3 and 4. Those who are wise shall shine, like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness, like the stars, forever and ever. But you, Daniel, shut up the words, and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. It's a fact our outer man on his own could not possibly be one of those people, or able to aid in enforcing Christ's victory. Trained by Satan's knowledge, minds and hearts shaped and molded by God's enemy, the carnal man, whose spirit is dormant, would not be able to compete against the dark side of the supernatural. All our outer man sees, for the most part, is this temporal world. It is all it has ever known, and has very little understanding of the supernatural. What knowledge of the supernatural he does have has carefully been fed to him by the enemy. His perception is therefore limited to the dark side only, exactly what Satan wants him to see. But it's a new day. The first week, or 7,000 years of creation, is over, and we are now in the early morning of the eighth day. The end-time knowledge has a different anointing. A brighter light shines as a result of the eighth-day oil and is offered to those the Father has held over for perfection. You see, the anointing that was on the seventh-day church could not break the yoke of the anointing that was on Satan, as described in Ezekiel as the anointed cherub. It would take the eighth-day anointing to set God's people free, to break the yoke of Satan's control. A brighter light is shining on the new species that David prophesied about in Psalm chapter 102, verse 18. A new generation has been created, and the children of God are now appearing. As we see in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, these will be renewed to the image of his Son and restored to what Adam and Eve were before they fell. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So, to be one of those perfected ones, our perspectives have to change. This begins to happen as we begin to look at things through the understanding of our inner man, who has contact with the mind of Christ. Side note, when we first think of restoration, our minds go immediately to the renewal of our bodies. But this will not happen before the perfection of our inner man. Let me explain. Jesus sacrificed his body to the Father to pay for our renewal. So this means we will be restored to who he is today without his earthly body. Therefore, it is our inner man that must be perfected, and our soul man reprogrammed, before our bodies are renewed to perfection here on earth. So let us therefore take a look at what happens as our alteration begins. Just as our soul man was created with ability to accomplish the things we desire to do on earth, our inner man likewise was created with abilities also. There is a big difference, however. Our soul man was designed to function in this realm, while our inner man was designed to equip us to function in the supernatural. As both our inner man and our outer man are retrained by the Holy Spirit, they become compatible and, by working smoothly together, bring the two realms into one. That was the condition of Adam and Eve and how they saw their environment before the fall. Let us think of it this way. A is the kingdom. B is this world of illusion. Our soul man has been subjected to nothing but what's in B. When our spirit is awakened, it is in A. Can you see where it operates in the spirit realm, A? It is completely at odds with the soul man that only knows how to operate in B. So what we want to do is every way we can keep our soul man from taking in more of the trash he learned in B. And listen to what is being taught in A. And do everything in our power to keep our newly awakened spirit man away from the junk in B. When our spirit man and our soul man are both getting their spiritual information only out of A, then the soul man will give us an accurate report of what is going on around us in the natural. And our spirit man will give us what is going on in the supernatural. And so what begins to happen? The two realms become one. And Satan and his knowledge in his realm are squeezed out. The two realms become one as it was in the beginning. Since our spirit man and our soul man have become one as it was in the beginning, we have become a part of the whole, an asset to the universe. In the seventh day, these attributes of our inner man were called gifts because they were scattered among God's people as evidence of our original makeup. In the eighth day, however, with the perfection of our inner man or our spirit man, these abilities are readily available to all God's children at all times, once again, as in the garden. When perfected, we will truly be in the image of Yeshua. At that time, our bodies will finally be restored. As we manifest as the children of God in the image of Yeshua, we are now well equipped to rebuild a new earth. We will do our part in renewing the heavenlies and establishing the kingdom as well. So with all that in mind, we want to begin understanding what our abilities actually were before we fell. We don't want to just use them on special occasions or here and there. We want them to become the way we live. To begin with, we have to stop seeking knowledge through our outer man or soul man alone and begin to seek information through our inner man as well. Remember that every bit of knowledge that comes from this world is from the mind of Satan and is the evil knowledge and wisdom that Eve chose for us. This is a sad realization for those that are proud of their higher learning, their well-educated intellect, that everything in their database from this world's systems has been gleaned from the mind of God's archenemy. As God perfects us, He will surely shine His light, driving out the false doctrines, the lies, the wrong perspectives, the mindsets that were developed through that wrong knowledge. Our inner man will begin to function from the advice from the mind of Christ, and our inner abilities become a real asset. As we begin to turn to the Holy Spirit for knowledge, He will answer us through what is known as Word of Knowledge. How to accomplish something will be solved by the Holy Spirit through Word of Wisdom. Since we will now be able to see into the supernatural, discerning of spirits will be as easy as discerning through the outer man those around us in this realm. The language spoken after being filled with the Spirit will, with our perfection, become our primary language. The Word says in the end He will restore to us a pure language. Think about it. How could any language be pure derived from Satan's knowledge, his way of thinking? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 9. for then I will restore to the peoples a pure language, that they all may call on the name of the Lord, to serve him with one accord. Not a language used by anyone today. Then there is healing, faith, and what we call miracles as well. When the morning star, or the sun of righteousness, rises in our hearts with healing in its wings, healing will be as natural to us as will faith, because this is a given. As we now see, we were created with these abilities. In other words, Adam and Eve were perfect creatures before the fall that functioned as God created them. And when we are perfected, we'll be the same. Scripture will then be fulfilled where he said, "They'll have no need of anyone to teach them, but I will teach them." Because we will once again have easy access to the mind of Christ, so the Holy Spirit can teach us all things, not teachers or books, etc. John chapter 6, verse 45. It is written in the prophets, "And they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me." 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. "But the anointing which you have received from him, eighth day, abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, absolute, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. This is the anointing that is on the Holy Spirit, and when the Holy Spirit gives us information, we can tuck that information into our database with confidence and begin to think more like the Lord. Our ways become more like his ways, and our perspective becomes much more in line with the Word. To make it even easier for us to change, God wrote his laws on our hearts and minds. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, era of the eighth day, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Now, with God's laws on our minds and hearts, and his knowledge in our database, our outer man, or our soul man, begins to change its outlook on things. With this change of perspectives, other changes come about as well. We dress more appropriately as a child of God. Coarse language is not used. And the things we desire to do are kingdom-oriented. In short, we no longer look like the world. We begin to look and act like the newly created species we are. Since our spirit man will be contributing at this point, what once was known as the gifts of the Spirit will now be a part of our daily lifestyle. Problems that arise will be solved as we seek the mind of the Lord. Remember also, the Lord said he would send us a helper that would teach us all things. This helper is none other than the Holy Spirit of God. The world's knowledge is foolishness to God, and now it seems foolish to us as well. John chapter 14, verse 26. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things, and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." You can see why all creation is waiting eagerly for the appearance of these ones. Mankind will be restored and once again be worthy to take dominion over God's creation and bring back the beauty and tranquility that God intended for this planet. Romans chapter 8, verses 19 through 21. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it in hope. In hope that man would see the need to return to God and subject themselves to being perfected. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. So again, for all this to come about, we must close our minds and our hearts to this world. I say this because there is not one thing in it, no matter how sophisticated or harmless it may appear, that has not come straight from the mind of Satan. Its knowledge, and therefore absolutely everything pertaining to it, comes from that twisted mind. Thankfully, the Word says, this world is temporal, meaning it has an ending. You see, Satan created a world through an illusion, and we were born into that illusion. For us, it became a reality. It's all we know. There is absolutely nothing perfect or real in this world, and therefore, there are no absolutes. Not anything we can with confidence believe in or trust. So again, there are no absolutes. We know this because the things we buy do not last. The houses we build soon need repairs. Again, no matter how sophisticated the technology, it all breaks down. No absolutes, no perfection. As the Father calls us out of this world and heads us for His kingdom, it can be very difficult for us to accept. God is perfection, and the things He creates are perfect. When He says something, it is so. His laws, like everything about Him, are absolute. They don't change. They don't wear out. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I do not change. Therefore you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For a people that have watched movies, the world's televisions, etc., a mindset has developed in many. Nothing is real. The spirits of doubt and unbelief have a wonderful time with this way of thinking. This is why, for us to be perfected, we must close our eyes to Satan's world, its pleasures, its sports, all to do with it, so that the Holy Spirit can begin to retrain us. Remember, as mentioned before in this message, we spoke about this world being temporal or having an end. As this comes about, those that belong to God according to Scripture will be gathered into Christ. No part of the world of Satan will be welcome. All will be brought back into sync with God's original plan for man. For those of us that want to be perfected and harvested to God, we must openly allow the Lord to shine His light. This will allow the Lord to reveal any darkness that might be found in our hearts and minds that would keep us out of harmony. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth. All is now a part of the whole in Him. In closing, as you can see from the above scripture, Father predestined us to be a viable part of His universe, a part of the whole. And if we will close our eyes to Satan's world and dedicate ourselves to God and His kingdom, we will be the benefactors of Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. No more sea of humanity altered by Satan. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. What a beautiful promise! May we all be found there.